In your Bible, please, Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and our attention this morning is at verse 38. Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verse 38. Now, John answering him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." He's not part of the team. But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against you is for you." Or, "He who is not against us," some translations, "is on our side," is for us. "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." We have been seeing that Jesus has been making it very clear, because multitudes have been following him. They have been following him because of the miracles that they have seen, that it is much more than just following a celebrity. It's much more than hooking your wagon to the fame of a preacher. That still goes on today. What it truly means to follow him, he has set forth in our previous study of denying self, taking up the cross, and following him. To totally identify with him. And to identify in such a way that those seeing you who have followed me will see me in you. How? By what you do. Identifying with me declares that you belong to me by what you do. Here, John sees someone who doesn't wear the same jersey. He's not part of the team. But what he's doing is casting out demons in the name of Jesus. So Jesus takes this occasion to say what was being done indicates that he belongs to me because of what he was doing. One who does that will by no means lose his reward. Come on over to Matthew chapter 25, where we were several weeks ago, with regard to the final judgment of the nations, the peoples on the earth, and the teaching of Jesus concerning the sheep and the goats. Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading from verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those on the right, those identified as sheep, are those that have been called to the kingdom before the foundation of the world. Keep your finger in there and just go to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus on Tuesday afternoon. We meet together for prayer, and Mike has been sharing his personal studies through the letter to the church at Ephesus. In chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. All that God has for us, we already have in Christ in the heavenlies, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Before the foundation of the world, in God's master plan of redemption, He has called a people out unto Himself. This people are to be to His eternal praise. These who have believed are positioned in Christ Jesus, and now are able, by the indwelling presence of Christ through His Spirit, able to give praise to the Lord. And that is how those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world are to be living until they go to be with Him, already positioned in the heavenlies as far as God is concerned, there and here, to be to His eternal praise, to be doing that which is characteristic of who we are in Christ and all we have in Him. He has withheld nothing. The sheep, the goats, then the king will say to those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous, those that are declared right before God, because of being positioned in Christ Jesus, then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my children, my brethren, you did it unto me. The righteous, the sheep, demonstrate that they belong by what they did. Giving the drink for one thirsty. Come on back with me to Mark chapter 9. Verse 39, but Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. For he who is not against you, is on your side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. He is part of the team. He's a teammate. He is doing what indicates that he has identified with me. And he will not lose his reward. Identifying with Christ and doing what is of Christ brings reward. Move over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As soon as you hear the reference to the Corinthians, the letters that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, we have two of them. One apparently lost, he makes reference to in the second letter. The Corinthians were carnal. They had come to saving faith in Christ. But they were behaving in such a way as to show that they were still connected with this world, not recognizing that they were seated already in Christ in the heavenlies. They were behaving as worldlings, as fleshly, carnal, not spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like the world, behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? I'm not on Paul's team. I'm on Apollos' team. Oh, really? We are teammates. He cast out demons in your name. He hasn't been following us. He's not part of the team. Oh, yes, he is. He's part of the team. He has identified with the team by what he's doing. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are on the same team, are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Teammates responsible for the role in which we have been placed on the team. He deals with that through this letter of how he has gifted this church at Corinth. He's withheld no spiritual gift to them. But what was the problem? They're separated. They're not functioning as one. They're functioning as separate entities, and this is not to the glory of God. It's not accomplishing his purpose. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one, each team member, who is personally responsible for the role that he is to be functioning as, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be anyone laid, that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that is Christ, with gold, silver, precious stone, good stuff, wood, hay, stubble, straw, not good stuff. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The judgment of the works done by the team, by each individual member of the team, those who are in Christ. Things produced by the Holy Spirit, which are resting upon the foundation Christ Jesus. Unmistakably things that identify with Him. But there's wood. There's hay. There's stubble. Things done not energized by the Spirit of Christ. Not identifying with Him. Those things, by the mercy and grace of God, are going to burn up. But the individual here is saved. But at the judgment seat of Christ, the work's done to His glory or to our own good will be declared. They'll be seen. They'll be exposed. They'll be manifest by the fire. Come on over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Our purpose. That's why we're here, to be to the praise of His glory. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good, of value, gold, silver, precious stone, or bad, of no value, wood, hay, stubble, consumed. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your conscience. We and you are part of the same team. There shouldn't be these divisions. There shouldn't be these things which are of no worth to God, that do not identify with Christ, our foundation. Going back to Mark chapter 9. Do not forbid him, verse 39. For no one works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak equal with me. For he who is not against you is on your side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, identifying with him, shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Who you identify with indicates your reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. What is being done indicates to whom you belong. What you're doing declares that you are mine or not. Romans chapter 2, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? There were those that he is addressing there in Rome who needed to recognize that apart from being in Christ, they were lost. It was evident that there were many there judging things that they recognized as wrong. That looks good. But the problem was, they were practicing, they were doing the same thing. It's easy to point out someone else doing wrong, but if you are doing the same thing, you're condemning yourself. And apart from God's long-suffering, apart from God's goodness, we're all lost. But God is not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to that cleansing change. Now, know this. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each man according to his deeds. What you're doing identifies you as a sinner. What you're doing condemns you. Apart from your embracing God's long-suffering and forbearance and goodness, providing your redemption in Christ. Because there's a day coming when God will justly, righteously judge. According to the heart, whether or not deserving of his wrath will justly be poured out. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the day is coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the furthest corners who dwell in the wilderness, for all these peoples are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. God looks on the heart, and his judgment is just and righteous, because in the heart is where those things which now are put on display. Good? Bad. Referencing all peoples here. Mark chapter 7. You remember, Jesus spoke about what defiles a man. Verse 14. When he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he had entered the house, away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Remember, the mysteries of the kingdom are presented in parables. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, and thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it?" Back to Romans chapter 2. "Or do you not despise the riches," verse 4, of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Revelation chapter 20, the final great white throne judgment. "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, also the Gentile, the Greek. But glory, honor, peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Deeds declare the condition of the heart. Apart from saving faith in Christ, man is condemned to righteous judgment. But in Christ, those who have believed on him, out from the heart proceed those things which are to his praise and glory. The things done indicate who you belong to. They are indicators of what is in the heart. You remember, Peter says, respond to the word of God so that you might have a pure heart, and then love one another out of a pure heart. Apart from the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit bringing the truth concerning Jesus being our sin bearer, shedding His blood so that our sins have been cleansed, man stands condemned. He stands condemned righteously, justly, because what he's done indicates who he belongs to. For out of the heart comes forth that which man will stand before God and be judged. Enter life to those who by patient continuance are doing good, works what is good. For as many, verse 12, as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be declared right. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts, accusing or else excusing him, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, the truth of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. Apart from obeying, responding to the truth that Jesus is the sovereign Son sent sin bearer, you will stand before God condemned in your sins. And the books are open and on display are all those things done that indicate still in your sin. The believer is not at that great white throne judgment. But the believer will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Judged in that the works done will be tested, proven as to whether they are to the praise and glory of God. Gold, silver, precious stones. Those things done that are precious in his sight, because they are built upon the foundation, Christ Jesus, they reflect him. Wood, hay, stubble, those things done in the flesh, those things done in our carnality, not in dependency upon the Holy Spirit, they will be judged. Mercifully, righteously, justly, for we will take nothing into the presence of the Lord that would be defiled. It's all cared for. Some, and many, biblical scholars believe that that judgment seat of Christ, the testing of the works done by the true believer, happens at the rapture. Now you know that we believe that the church is taken up before the tribulation period. There are those who are saved during the tribulation period. There are those who do things during the tribulation period that are to the glory of God. And many will be martyred because of that. There are those going through the tribulation who will be delivered, but who are still in the body of flesh, capable of and doing those things which need to be burned up, judged. My understanding of the scriptures is that that will take place at the end of the tribulation period, the judgment seat of Christ for all who are righteous before God in Christ Jesus. Time does not permit, but that is what James is writing about. And many have a problem with James because it would seem that James is saying that faith is one thing, works is another. And that in order to be right before God, one has to have works that indicate that you belong. What James very clearly says is this. You can put on the same jersey. You can look like you're part of the team. You can declare you have faith. Show me your faith. Part of the team, you'll do what Christ has empowered you to do. You say you belong, show me your faith by your works. Declaring faith, don't cut it. A declaration of faith is simply a declaring of a dead faith, because biblical faith, real faith in Christ, produces. We rest in what He has done. But we respond by doing what He would have us do. And that's the indicator. That's why James uses Abraham. Wasn't he declared right before God by putting his son on the altar? And therefore, as the scriptures say, he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He demonstrated that his faith was real. There were those who didn't look like they were part of the team. But what were they doing? They were doing that which indicated they were teammates. We, each one of us, is part of not only the family of God, but the team, here for the purpose of bringing glory to Him. Each one responsible to be functioning in accordance with the role that we have on the team, the part that we have as gifted members of the body. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Gold, silver, precious stone. As we yield to the Spirit of God in our lives, producing those things which identify to the world we're living in, that we belong to Him. Eternal praise. Or we let the flesh come in. We're in His body, and we yield to the flesh, producing the wood, the hay, the stubble. By the mercy and grace of God, He burns it all up. But we will stand before Him responsible. Now, I know this. We're not going to carry any guilt or shame for those things done in the flesh. He's too merciful and he burns it all up. But the challenge is now. Do. Resting on what is done. Responding by doing. Father, thank you for these moments as reminders of who we are in Christ and what we are to declare, demonstrate, because we are in Christ Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.